And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we also link to our guests. We send you directly to the source of the information that we have access to as well, and we encourage you to check out our guests and the information that they have. Here we are, the month of November. We're rapidly wrapping up this year. We'll be into 2020 before you know it, and it's only 2015. Be that as it may, a lot is going on. I can personally attest to, and I'm going to seek out as much information and guidance as I can from our guest today, who is a life coach, and she has actually put out a book that is rather apropos for today's program, From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love. My guest is Alex Bretti, and I want to thank you so much, Alex, for joining us on the program today.
Richard, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
You know, everybody is certainly going through their own challenges. Because we've had these people on our program in the past, I have a Vedic astrologer who I get a weekly update from, but that goes out to hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And I look at that and I say, oh, okay, a little challenges here, a little challenges there. No problem. I can handle that. And then there are those days when I don't care what he's written, I don't care how good it looks, there are those days. And of late, then I seem to be getting bombarded by, you know, the challenges and starting to feel that swamped feeling and just wanting to say, stop, get away from me. I'm not doing another thing for another, 2 weeks kind of thing. I'm taking a 2 week vacation, whether you like it or not, and that kind of thing. And it's certainly something that we need to take a look at. But I remember I was watching one of these universe programs, and they were talking about the universe and the construct of, you know, chaos. That, you know, if you were to look at the universe from, I suppose, one perspective, it's extremely chaotic. I mean, we've got things hurling around, and we don't know what's headed our way that could pass by us or not, and just, you know, turn our worlds upside down and then some. And others who will look at the same universe and say, no, it's actually quite a finely tuned machine, if you will. It's operating at optimal efficiency, and it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And we sometimes will take those same two perspectives in our lives. And we think that, you know, like I was expressing earlier, there's chaos. It seems as though that's what's going on. And you want to make, I want to put it into order. I want to put the brakes on, so to speak, and I want to get things organized and, prioritized and on and on and on. And it's not always easy to do. And I know that's one of the things that we're going to talk about here on the program today, because that is the atmosphere, if you will, I think, where all of us find ourselves, using the word from the subtitle, we all feel stuck.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, chaos, how you look at what's going on, it really determines everything, right? And I love your example of sort of taking that larger worldview of the universe. And some of us see total chaos and some of us don't. And it's the same with our lives as well. Sometimes we look at our lives and we feel so stuck, or we feel that things are chaotic. But in fact, while it may feel that way and it may seem that way, it may also be the beginning of you moving to a new place, of you actually stopping, as you said, taking a break. Well, sometimes we need to listen to ourselves. If we need a break, hit that pause button and step back from it all and realize, actually, I have all the answers, right? We sometimes sort of flail around looking for these answers outside of ourselves to try to get unstuck or to try to right our ship if we feel like we're in chaotic waters, and we look for the quick fix or the solution. But the actual truth is that we already have the answers within us. It just takes us to be still and go inwards to find them and understand how to get unstuck. And that's what my book really talks about. You're right, the subtitle of it is Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love. And that's exactly what I talk about in the book, is how do you actually access those answers that are within you? How do you actually move from that feeling of chaos and stuckness to actually feeling freedom, and also that you have control over your life, that you can direct your life and be a deliberate creator in what you're experiencing, rather than just feeling like it's all these random events that are kind of coming at you from nowhere?
I've said it on this program a number of times very gently, because I think it has to be said in that sense, that in addition to environments in general, and maybe specifically work, home, etc., that we also have the freedom as human beings to be more discerning of the people that we allow into our lives, and that throughout our lives, there may be those that we determine are no longer, and I don't mean this in a selfish context, but that no longer serve us, that no longer support us. And again, it's a reciprocal thing. You know, we support them in what they're doing. They support us. But there comes a point in a lot of relationships, very close and then, of course, very far apart as well, that, you know, we get to that point where we need to part ways, because they're not helping us. They're not supporting us. They're not encouraging us in the ways in which maybe they were before. And we feel guilty if we want to sever those ties. And yet it's those kinds of relationships sometimes that sort of keep us stuck as well. Yes,
I think that's a really fair point. And, there's a motivational speaker, Jim Rohn, has, often been quoted saying, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. And so if you kind of look around and say, who are those five people? I'm kind of the average of that. And yeah, I mean, we all have an impact on each other, right? Because we're all energy. And we're all at some point or another vibrating some kind of energy out into the universe to each other. And so if we're hanging around people who are kind of vibrating in a low energy, which by that I mean sort of those low vibrational feelings of anger or rage or worry or blame, resentment, things like that, we're going to pick up on that. It's going to have an impact on us. Whereas if we are around people who are vibrating at a higher frequency and they're hopeful, they're courageous, they're joyful, they're looking for the good things in life, not the bad things. They're the ones that are looking at things going, well, yeah, it's kind of a gray cloud, but I see a huge silver lining to this, as opposed to the other way around. That's going to have an impact too. And so it really does matter who you surround yourself with. And of course, it matters what we choose to think and feel as well, right? We are the ones who make the choices as to how we think and feel. We're also the ones who choose who we spend our time with, as you quite astutely pointed out.
Now, it is all about choices, whether it be the choices in the thoughts that we have, the people we associate, the places we go, the books we read, the music we listen to, the television programs we watch, the movies we go see, etc. I mean, the list goes on. In addition to, I would throw this in there as well, in addition to, everything else that we consume, whether it be food or beverage, all of this makes a difference. And at the same time, we're also still, even in the 21st century, and maybe because of the 21st century, we're all still looking for that quick fix. And am I correct that in spite of the fact that we've turned to a new millennium, that still doesn't exist, especially for getting unstuck?
You are absolutely right. Yeah, there's no silver bullet strategy to this. It does take some time and it takes some commitment. And, when you really look around, most of the things in life that are really worth doing or really worth having, they do take some time. They don't just happen overnight. We are living in a world where instant gratification seems to be getting faster and faster. And of course, with social media and all the different technologies we have, we do get this sense that, oh, people are just overnight sensations. They're overnight successes. They come out of nowhere and boom, they're, you know, like number one on everything. They're overnight millionaires, billionaires. But when you really unwrap the story of any of those successful people or any of those stories, they've been plugging away at whatever they're doing for many years. And it's the same thing with yourself. So when you make the choice that you want to get unstuck, yes, there's some work involved in that, and yes, you need to be committed to it, and yes, it's going to take a little bit of time. Now, I'm not saying it's going to take, you know, decades or anything like that, but it isn't going to happen overnight because essentially it can't, because change is involved. And the dreaded change that, you know, all of us resist, we essentially have to do it incrementally because radical change is just too daunting for us as human beings to kind of grasp and move towards. Very few people are okay with radical change. But incremental change, that we can handle. We can commit to that. And we can work day by day just taking small steps to get there.
You know, I've also heard it said, too, in regards to change, that, as you say, it has to take time. It does not happen in an instant, mainly because we couldn't handle it. It would be too much for our systems to handle.
Yeah, it's too overwhelming. I mean, as human beings, we inherently do resist change. And of course, you know, if you feel stuck in your life, then there's something going on with you, right? I mean, you may feel that it's circumstantial, that it's the situation you're in or the crappy job that you have or, you know, any other number of reasons. But actually, you know, the truth of it is, you have created it, whether you think you have or not. You may have done it by default. You may have done it without realizing. But the choices you made have led you to where you are today. And when you feel stuck like that, the thought of change, even though you want to change, it's scary because you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what lies within when you really take a step back and you say, okay, I'm going to do some of this inner work. I'm going to understand how to connect to myself. I'm going to understand how to access these questions and all this richness and goodness within me. Because if you've never done that before, if you're not even aware that it's there, all of that is pretty scary to begin with. So it's step by step. It's, you know, taking each little, you know, each little piece day by day and just building some momentum over time. And then that way we're able to move through it and we're able to process it so much more effectively.
Well, I think the other aspect of in regards to change, and I was thinking about this not long ago in light of I was listening to the news and I was hearing the economic numbers come in. It didn't matter what for what, but the fact was that none of these numbers were making anybody happy. They weren't bad numbers, but they weren't good numbers. So nobody was happy. And of course, a few days later, the same thing, different numbers. Still, they weren't great numbers, and not everybody was happy. And I kept thinking, and I've even asked economists this question. I said, well, what numbers would make you happy?
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't know what tomorrow brings, whether it be the economy or our lives. For example, longevity, say in the workplace or even in a relationship, does not guarantee that you'll be in that relationship or at that workplace tomorrow. And I think part of the aspect of change, I think that maybe we can touch upon a little bit is the fear. And I think fear is probably the key word, is the fear that if I make this change and it doesn't work, I may end up losing everything. I may not have a home to live in. I may lose my vehicle if that's the case. You know, if I lose the job, I've got no money coming in, so I have no food. And I may be lucky enough to get out of the living space with the clothes on my back, you know, that kind of thing, and end up homeless and on the street. And I've seen the results of those kinds of situations. I mean, we all have in our own towns, in our own cities. And none of us wants to be there, but I think that's probably one of the biggest fears is that we will, if not lose everything, we will lose the sense of security in the warm home, hearth and home, if you will, and so forth, and that all of our friends will disappear because they don't want to have anything to do with homeless people. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And what you described is sort of, you know, someone's mind at work with all those rampant negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's sort of two aspects to that. I mean, of course, no one wants to end up homeless, right? So that's exactly why you don't make the radical change of, well, I'm just going to quit my job tomorrow with no plan. Because I hate it and I'm quitting, right? Well, yeah, that's probably not the best change that you could do. That's where incremental change would be so much more beneficial, in the sense that you start to look at, okay, what do I not like about this job? Okay, make the list. Based on that, what kind of job do I want? What are the aspects of the job that I do want? And over time, start looking for something that is going to serve you better. And so, no, is that going to happen? Are you going to switch jobs overnight? No, but you're going to be much more methodical and thoughtful about it, so you're not going to end up homeless, right? Like, that actually is the whole merit in doing the incremental change, so that we're not making these rash decisions and essentially living out our worst fears. But I think the other part of it is sometimes our fears are fairly irrational, right? We can let that negative chit-chat in our head take over and start spinning some crazy story that, you know, gee, if I start doing, you know, a little bit of personal development and sort of accessing some answers within me, that somehow I'm going to end up homeless, like, because it's just too scary for me to do that.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, if we really follow that to its logical sort of, you know, what could happen, becoming homeless is probably very unlikely, right? So you got to be careful with those fears in your mind, because they can keep you stuck, because you're not sort of willing to explore a little bit of uncertainty, explore a little bit of the unknown, and step outside your comfort zone just a little bit. Then, of course, you stay stuck where you are. So it does take a little bit of courage to get that first momentum to sort of say, okay, I'm willing to go this far with a little bit of uncertainty and sort of stick my toe in the water and see how it goes, you know? So again, I think that's why the incremental change is so important.
It reminds me of that Bill Murray movie. I think it was entitled What About Bob? And Richard Dreyfuss was his therapist, who had just written a book, and the key was baby steps. And I often think of that when, you know, when wanting to make some change, that, you know, they don't have to be big strides. You know, even the smallest change can actually evoke some major, the smallest step can evoke some major change down the road. And again, it's not something that is going to happen overnight, but at least it's a beginning. And these kinds of decisions, these kinds of small steps or incremental steps, as you say, they individually may not seem like much, but you know, you keep making another one and another one and another one, and you're not going to be in the same spot you were when you first started making those steps.
Well, exactly.
And
right.
I think we don't give ourselves enough credit for that.
Exactly. And that's the thing, right? You know, sometimes we don't take that first step because it seems so tiny. Like, well, what use is it for me to? I mean, when people first come to me and say, well, what is one small thing I could do? I tell them to, okay, devote 10 minutes of your time every day to the topic of you, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, looking inside, doing a little meditation, essentially, you know, if you hate your job, assessing, like I said, what do I like and don't like? What might I like to do? Whatever it is, what's important to you, just 10 minutes a day. And people kind of look at me like, well, how the heck is that going to help? 10 minutes a day?
Mm-hmm.
I say, yeah, but if you do it every day over time, it's going to make a huge impact. And to take your economic example, you know, I love to tell that classic story of, you know, dad is essentially preparing to write his will. He has two sons, and he gives them a choice. He says, okay, you can have $1 million today, or you can have one penny, and the penny will double over time for 30 days. Well, on the face of it, obviously the $1 million looks like the obvious choice, right? Like, give me the $1 million, instant gratification. But a penny doubled over the penny doubled every day over 30 days, that comes out to over $5 million.
Yeah.
So behold the power of compound interest. It's the same thing with how you choose to spend your time, as you mentioned earlier, your friends, how you choose your thoughts. All of that starts to add up over time, and it has an enormous impact as you build that momentum.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Alex Bratty. She's written a book called From Chaos to Clarity, and you can reach her at that very website, Alex Bratty, AlexBratty.com. She is both a coach, a life coach, as well as a consultant, and she's working to help youth from inspiration and creativity to get yourself unstuck and move forward in your life. It's kind of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks here on this program, in terms of trying to find our purpose, find our path, find our direction, find that compass that would you know, steer us, you know, away from some of the struggles that maybe we don't need to go through. And yet, at the same time, I've heard this often said, Alex, that it is that we have to have the challenges in life in order for us to build character. And I'm thinking, there's got to be an easier way to build character. Why do we have to go through all of that? And yet, when I go back to even the cosmic, let alone the micro universe in terms of our biology, in many instances, for example, our immune systems, it's the only way that they're strengthened is when they're challenged. So I'm stuck in a paradox of sorts. You know, it's like I don't want the challenges. There has to be another way to build a character, but at the same time,
yeah, absolutely. Well, yes, and of course, every experience we have, whether it's a fun one or a miserable one, a success or a failure, every single one of them is learning. Right? There are lessons to be learned throughout all our lives, and we came to the, you know, to be who we are in order to learn specific lessons. And, you know, if you keep having sort of the same experience over and over again, but maybe with different scenery and different players, the point is that you haven't learned whatever lesson that experience holds for you just yet. And it is in those challenges that we grow the most. You know, imagine if life were just, you know, a bed of roses all day, every day. Then, like, how could we distinguish between, like, what's really joyous and what isn't, right? It would just all become the same bland whatever.
True.
And we wouldn't be grateful for those highs. But when we do have contrast show up in our lives and we have challenges, the other purpose that it serves, in addition to, you know, showing us the lesson or teaching us a lesson, is to help us get really clear on what we do want. Right? And that's another thing I talk about in my book. So it's the whole idea from chaos to clarity. So if you're kind of hating on where your life is at right now and you're stuck there, the point is it doesn't have to stay that way, but you can look at what's showing up in your life, the stuff you don't like, and use it to get incredible clarity around what you do want and then go after that. You know, sometimes when I ask people, well, okay, what do you want? What do you actually want? It's a very hard question for some people to answer, but they sure can answer the question of what they don't want. And so that is actually a great place to start. Now, I don't mean to dwell in that, because when you're just focused on what you don't want, then guess what? You get more of it, right? Mm-hmm. And it just sort of, it's a downward spiral. But using it as a pivot point to create that clarity, to create that vision of what you do truly want, and then placing your focus on that, that's the other wonderful purpose that all these challenges and this contrast has when it shows up in our life.
From Chaos to Clarity is the title of the book. My guest is Alex Bratty. She is joining us here on the program to help us all, help me, help you, and I'm sure that she's listening as well to herself, as we often ought to do, to continue to, again, move forward in our lives. And we're going to move forward on the program. Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World in just a moment.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. My guest, Alex Bratty, the author of the book From Chaos to Clarity. You can find her at alexbratty.com. That's A-L-A. alexbratty.com. And we're talking about this whole aspect. A lot of times what we usually do on this program is start out by sort of defining terms. So let's start out by defining some terms here in the second half of our program. What is the definition, as you see it, of the word chaos?
Well, chaos for me was really when I just felt like my life just, I couldn't get it. I really felt stuck. I guess chaos to me actually felt like being stuck, that there was a lot of contrast in my life, a lot of stuff that I didn't like. And what made it even more confusing for me was that, you know, it was one of those situations where from the outside, it all looked good, right? So mine primarily manifested in my professional life. So I had the big job, I had the lucrative career, and if you were just sort of observing from the outside, it looked like I had it all, right? But inside, I was pretty darn miserable, and I was getting no fulfillment out of what I was doing, and I just felt like, is this all there is to life? I mean, here I am, I'm working all the hours that God sends, I'm always busy, and I'm constantly on the road and never home with my family. It just feels like I'm moving from like one project to another just to like meet all these client needs, and there was no space for me, and there was no enjoyment in what I was doing anymore. So it came to the point where I'm like, why am I spending all this time doing stuff that I don't even like, and it's not even fulfilling me anymore? But because I was good at it and because I had this lucrative business, you know, it becomes very confusing because you feel like, well, hello, you should just stay doing it because it's working. Well, it may have been working on one level, but it wasn't working for me in terms of what was in alignment for who I was and what I was to be doing. I was kind of like dying a little more every day. So chaos for me sort of was a combination of all that, like feeling stuck, feeling confused that, you know, why can't I like this if I'm good at it? And shouldn't I just like it? Shouldn't I just suck up and get on with it? Most people would be wondering why I even feel this way. And sort of grappling with myself back and forth on that, yeah, but I don't want to live like this. I don't want to do this anymore. Isn't there a better way? And so it just felt like there was sort of like this constant sort of like wrestling match going on in my head and in my heart every day. And that felt very chaotic to me.
So the definition of clarity would, I suppose, might seem to folks to be just the opposite of what you've described for chaos. But give us your words of the definition of clarity.
Yeah, clarity for me was getting clear on what I actually wanted. Just as I was saying before the break there, even though I was not happy, I couldn't actually articulate to anyone what I truly wanted in any real meaningful detail, right? It was kind of like, well, it was all about, I don't want this, I don't want that. It's like, well, okay, you don't want that, but so what do you want? So clarity for me was finally understanding what are the qualities and aspects that I want to create in my professional life, in my personal life, in all these different aspects of my life. And how do I then go about getting that, right? Because it's one thing to get clear on it and create that vision, and certainly that's the beginning piece, that, and I talk about this in my book. Obviously, you've got to get clear. You've got to set your intention, have the vision, do that inner work. But then, of course, you have to take action. Nothing's going to happen if you sit around on the couch eating bonbons all day, right? So it was also getting clear on what steps did I need to take, breaking down the goals and really, you know, unpacking it to say, okay, here's where I'm at, this is where I want to go, and these are the steps that are going to build the bridge to get there. So that was me finding clarity.
And, you know, it's difficult, I know, for a lot of folks to do that because they don't have the practice at doing it in terms of sitting down and going through that process of what do I really want and trying to formulate the steps to get there. They're not big meditators, you know, they don't spend a lot of time introspectively and that kind of thing. They're not really listening to the still small voice that they've literally been spending all of their time just getting through from day to day. And that seems to be the biggest challenge for a lot of folks is not so much a question of finding the time, because the time is there. It's making the commitment to self to make the time to do this and to seek out those such as yourself who can assist in the process.
Right, exactly true. And that is, you know, that's a big part of what I do when I'm coaching is, of course, holding that space and time for people so they really can have that quiet introspection and sort of assisting them along the path. Like, here are the steps that you need to take if you're going to do this. And the book does, you know, makes those steps very accessible. And I think you hit on a key point is making the commitment to ourselves. And I would add to that, prioritizing it, right? That, and this is the thing, we're all so busy doing so many things, but when it comes to saying, okay, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes every day for just something, whatever it is, maybe it's even a power nap some days, right? Because we're tired, whatever it is, 10 minutes for myself, and what happens? You blow it off because, you know, some email comes in or it's too interesting to stay on your Twitter feed or you're just like zoned out scrolling through Facebook, right? And it's like, wait, this is about you. It's your life. And, you know, until you decide and take the time and commit to yourself that you are going to actually work through some of these things that are bothering you, that you want to get clarity on, it's not going to happen. No one's coming along to do it for you, okay? If you're waiting for someone to come along and show you exactly how to do that and sit down with you unsolicited to do that, it's not happening. It's really all up to you.
That is huge.
And so, go ahead.
I say that is huge because in many instances, we don't want to venture off by ourselves alone in this context, that we want someone's hand to hold onto, if you will. And it's almost as if that's sort of the way we've been trained. We haven't really been trained to do things on our own. And I have to say that there have been a couple of instances recently in my life where I was faced with a brand new project. Okay. Now it's not to say that I hadn't done this kind of work before, but this was in a whole new format. It was a whole new design for the type of work that I was doing. And I wanted somebody sitting next to me who could add a second pair of eyes to make sure that I didn't make any mistakes. Well, there really wasn't anybody. And yet, and I'm not completely through it, but I've probably gone through maybe 90-95% of it. You know, yeah, I've made a few mistakes along the way, and I've corrected them and continued to move forward. And I got to tell you, it's quite a nice feeling to look back and go, as frustrated as I was at times, to be nearly completed. And it's like, wow, I did it. I made it. And I'm not going to say that I did it necessarily on my own, because I did receive some training and there was some support along the way. But for the most part, you know, it was just me. There isn't a department in my workplace where there are a number of people who, you know, they're all looking at it and saying, oh, no, we need to go that direction or this direction. Or oh, they said do this and that and the other. I was virtually, you know, on my own in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the same thing when we're looking at ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to take your analogy, I would say my book and the coaching that I do are kind of the support and training that you got, right? So there is an initial, here are the steps, here's the guide, but then ultimately it is up to you. I can only take the horse to the water. I cannot make it drink, right?
Right.
So there has to be a commitment within yourself that you're going to do some of this work on your own. I mean, even in my coaching, so, you know, most of my clients, I see them once a week. Well, that's 1 hour out of an entire week. Obviously, if they're going to make progress, they have to do some stuff on their own, right? I mean, if they just rely on, okay, I'm not going to do anything for myself between seeing Alex this week and seeing her next week, I mean, they'll still make some progress, but it isn't going to be nearly what they could if they devote a little time to themselves on those days in between our sessions. So So it's the same idea. You do have to commit to it. And to your point, in terms of the satisfaction that comes, it's so empowering, right? When you actually do embrace some of these things and work through them yourself and have the realizations yourself, things start to open up. And there's such an empowerment and a joy in that, that you look back and you say, wow, I took that step and it led to this one and then that one. And now look where I am. Wow, that was pretty dang good. I'm impressed with myself, you know? I mean, it really does help build your confidence and your self-esteem when you work through something like that.
And how easy has it been for you to go from, I'll say milestone to milestone, because between the milestones are all those little steps. And remember, now this is sort of counter to, for example, one of the chapters about releasing the past and the negative. But in terms of being able to sort of watershed those experiences and say, and then when you face in the present this new experience and say, well, wait a minute, let me go back and take a look at the list of all of the new experiences that I passed, if you will, in my past, and I succeeded there and there and there, stumbled a little here, but I still succeeded and so forth. So what makes me think that I'm not going to succeed here?
Exactly. Yes, and I talk about that too in my book. It's looking for evidence of success is how I term that, because mm-hmm. when we're confronted with those fears or that I can't do that, what are you talking about? I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. It's like, stop for a moment. Look at how many things you have done. Look at how many times you started out and you weren't certain or you were afraid and you did it anyway. And it all turned out just fine, and it was successful. And it's looking for those things. And even if you look back at experiences and they weren't successful, flip them on their head and say, okay, well, I had that experience, and guess what? It didn't go well. But here's what I learned from it,
yeah.
So I'm not going to do that again. It's
yeah.
not going to be a repeat of that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are things that you learn along the way that seem to be kind of mind-blowing, sort of between the milestones. And when you first sort of hear about some of these concepts in this personal development world, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I'll give you a prime example. The concept that we chose our parents. I mean, that is a pretty well, agreed-upon concept in the personal development world. Well, when I first started on my personal development journey, I knew nothing about that. I had never read a book that said that. That just shows you how far out of this world I was in terms of when I first started working with a coach myself. And, you know, here we are. We're probably about 6 months in, and she drops that, grenade in our session, and I look at her, and you've got to be kidding me, because that's not possible. How could I possibly have chosen my parents? And I just was flabbergasted, you know. But then, you know, after I got over the original shock of that and started thinking about it some more, I really started to see not only how it was true, but also how liberating it is to accept that. Because if we do accept that our childhood, everything was a self-selected path, boy, does it ever put you squarely back in control to release any of that stuff that you're carrying with you from your childhood, right? Like all those limiting beliefs that we picked up. And it's not that our parents meant to do us any harm, but they were operating with their own set of limiting beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did the best they could with what they had.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so many of us have been walking around with some thoughts and ideas for, 30, 40 years and operating from that place without even realizing it. And once you understand some of these concepts, it is so liberating to then be able to turn it around and own it and release some of that baggage and just wave it goodbye. That to me was the most powerful piece. And often that sort of feeling of liberation, of letting go, is often what happens at those sort of major milestones when you encounter like a new concept where you're just, what? What are you talking about? That can't possibly be true. If you take the time to just contemplate it and think it through, it turns out to be sort of the next jewel, the next little treasure on your treasure hunt that you're on in this journey.
You know, I just watched a movie that I found very intriguing. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's not widely known, I'm sure, by a lot of folks. It's called, it's one word, and it's called Unity.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Fascinating. But what brought that movie to mind was one of your chapter titles, Are We Connected with Our Ego or Our Divine Self? And it almost negates the whole aspect of separating ourselves from one another for various reasons. As I said earlier about, you know, well, this person is no longer serving me. They're not supporting me, and I'm, you know, and so forth. They're detracting from my ability to continue to move forward. My energy level's low when I'm around them, and so on and so on and so on. And one of the things that was brought up, and it's been brought up on this program many, many times, is, you know, we're all connected. It doesn't matter who we are that we are. We just are all connected. Whether and it goes back to even what you were saying to do earlier about this aspect of choosing our parents. And I must have chosen pretty darn good because I've got some pretty darn good parents who are still kicking in their 80s. And I find it interesting that I think that at the aspect of which aspect of our humanity, if you will, if I can put it in that broad of terms, are we connected with our ego, that part that, you know, separates and judges and divides and so forth from the divine self that doesn't see all of that, that recognizes that experiences are just experiences. When we were talking earlier about challenges in our lives, you know, that, yeah, we can still call them challenges, but actually they're just experiences. And yes, we learn from them, but they're neither good or bad, right or wrong. They're just there to teach us. You know,
yeah.
And that's the other thing too, is I have never heard of anyone getting per se, you know, in this sense, you know, either you are getting an education or you're not. You're either learning or you're not. I mean, that's the only differentiation. And so a good education versus a bad one is you're either learning or you're not, but that's still up to you. It's not the institution per se or the instructor or any of the other students. It's entirely up to you as to whether or not you learn something. So
it's your awareness too,
mm-hmm.
right? It's your awareness that I'm having an experience. It's my awareness that I have a choice here.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to my ego and all that negative chit-chat and choose to listen to all that. You can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. I mean, let's face it, we all have that chit-chat going on. But it's being aware that that's all it is. It's your ego. It's scared. It knows that you want to do something different, and it's kind of trying to put the scare on you to stop you from doing it. But you have a choice. You can listen to that, or you can connect with your true self, your real self, or your divine self, as I referred to it in the book, which is the positive voice, the one that is truly at your core that knows that you can do whatever you set your mind to. If you believe in it and you put your focus on it and you take action that's in alignment with it, you can do it. And it's that awareness that you do have a choice, always. On that track that you're playing in your mind, are you just going to let that negative track just keep rolling and rolling and rolling, or are you going to switch tapes and put in the track that's positive, that wants you to try new things, that wants you to find fulfillment and to find your calling and to find your higher purpose and to do the things that make your heart sing every day? It's that awareness and that choice that you can make every single moment.
And that's what we talk about on this program, giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true. One of the things that I've thought about in terms of that is, you know, well, it goes back to your comment about your question, what do I want? What do I really, really want? And every time I think about that, this whole concept of The Secret comes up, where I remember doing an interview about a year or two after it came out. Somebody was actually criticizing The Secret because they said they left something out. And what that something was, and I don't know that I'm misquoting or misphrasing it. It's not so much a criticism as much as an observation. What they left out was the fact that, Yeah, you could draw to yourself lots of money and cars and houses and people and things. But if you're living on purpose, you're living your life's purpose, you're living and connected to that, your divine self, then those aren't going to be the things that you're going to connect with, that you're going to draw to you. You know, that you might, you still might draw those things to you as part of fulfilling your purpose, say for serving other people and that kind of thing. But it's not going to be the same, it's not going to be the same kind of choice that you will make as opposed to being connected to the ego and, you know, buying into the marketing program that's sort of out there in the media and so forth, that says, oh, you've got to have the latest and the greatest. And I have to tell you, that's one of the messages I've never been able to, I missed that one because I have a 3-year-old, for example, a 3-year-old cell phone, and I have a 5 or 10-year-old TV set, and on and on and on, and they work, and everything in that respect works just fine. But when you're connected to the divine self, it seems to me, Alex, that you don't have to worry about having the latest and the greatest, if you will, or the newest, because you're sort of constantly upgraded as you go.
Yeah, and it's kind of the idea of our whole, like, us as holistic beings versus just a couple of different aspects of ourselves. And mm-hmm. and this is something I talk about this in the book, too, because I had this experience. I very much in, you know, the career that I ultimately walked away from that I was talking about earlier, where I was sort of miserable inside. Well, at the beginning of that, I did have a very clear intention. And it was kind of the law of attraction perfectly at work in the sense that I set an intention that I wanted to make a lot of money. I mean, that's pretty broad. It's a broad idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know how I was going to do it. Well, the universe kind of filled in the gaps for me in how I did it because I wasn't clear on it. And I did achieve it. I did actually get what I asked for. But in the process of doing that, a lot of the choices that I made were in pursuit of that one specific thing. And in doing so, I shut down so much else of me, right? I shut down, I mean, you know, relationships were suffering. And I mean, forget about sense of community. All I knew was work. Community, what's that? Volunteering, who has time for that? You know, all these other aspects of life that are so important were essentially just shut down. And so no wonder that I found myself miserable because, yeah, I basically got what I set out to do, but I didn't realize in doing it that I had shut down all this other part of my life, you know, with family, with friends, with loved ones. It just, you know, I just wasn't there properly. I just wasn't present. I just was like a different person. And so it is this notion that, you know, we're holistic. There's several aspects to us. And so if you're just going after one of them, I mean, have at it. You can do it. But be careful that you aren't shutting down all these other really wonderful parts of your life and things that you can experience along the way, because it is all connected. And as you said, we are all connected. So, you know, you can supercharge one part, right? But if you're not paying attention to the rest, then they all kind of, you know, they just fizzle out and burn out. And you wonder why you're not feeling so great.
Yeah.
You haven't been fueling all those other parts of you that exist. So, I mean, we are multifaceted beings. And we need to, you know, acknowledge that and really look at all the different aspects of our lives, not just our work, not just our family, not just community, but all of these different things, our spirituality, things like that. We have to figure all that into the equation and sort of keep that in mind as we're moving forward and we're truly designing this life that we want.
We're talking with Alex Braddy. She's the author of the From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love. I have to say that I even through those the challenging moments that you know, I can honestly say that I've experienced over time in recent times. That I still love the work that I do, and I still love the relationship that I'm in with my wife, and the home life and the various things, would there be some things that I might change? Yeah, sure. If I really put my mind to it and said, okay, these are the things I want to change. But at the same time, I'm also looking to the future, you know, Alex, like we all are, saying, well, what's next? What's next on the hit parade, so to speak? I've always felt that I've been in the right place at the right time throughout my life. And I'm wondering, okay, what's the next place and time for that next interesting opportunity to continue to do the types of things that, again, bring me joy and happiness, certainly, but hopefully others as well. So that's something that I think we're all looking to, and I'm wondering what you have to say about that, what advice you would give, guidance, etc.
Well, I think we have a balance. You know, a lot of people talk about being present and just focusing on the present because that's what you can control. I agree with that up to a point. I don't think we ever stop looking ahead. And I think it's a good thing to look ahead. I mean, looking ahead with hopefulness, with, you know, excitement. What's coming for me? What is the next thing? I think that the challenge comes if that's where you're only living. If you're basically sort of saying, well, I don't really like where things are today, and let me just look ahead, like what's next? What can I move to next? How can I escape where I am right now? Then you're going to run into problems. In fact, you're going to get yourself stuck in that. The key to it is essentially accepting where you are right now. And if you can, because it helps so much to do this, find gratitude in where you are. Even if you are really stuck or you're having a very tough situation or challenge right now, there's always something you can find to be grateful for. The very fact that you woke up and had another day on this planet is something to be thankful for. The fact that you have a roof over your head, however meager, that is something to be thankful for. And so it's accepting where you are and recognizing that, okay, even if it's not what I want right now, it can change and I can work towards changing it, because you can control both the present and the future, right? You can, like we've been talking throughout this whole show about making choices and being a deliberate creator. That is about what your future is going to be. That is about the choices you make today mm-hmm. are going to determine your future. So I think it's both. I think you have to have a nice mix of being present, appreciating what you have right now, and accepting it for what it is, even if you don't like it. Accept what it is, because the more you resist it, the more it's just going to stay there. You have to just kind of accept it, that this is what it is. But then also knowing, okay, it doesn't always have to be that way. I can, you know, create this vision for my future. I can lay out a plan for how to get there. I can take steps to make those things happen for me. And what are the choices I need to make today, or what are the steps that I need to take today to make that happen?
You raise an interesting thought for me in that context. Now, you said that obviously, you know, the changes for the future are incremental, you know, the small little steps. And a lot of people, they latch on to individuals or books in particular and say, this book changed my life. And based upon what you've just said, I have to wonder if it's less the book, less the author, and more the individual who chose if to do nothing more than, let's say, to take your advice and begin to be grateful for the roof over their head every day. If that's all they did, that is a microscopic change that could have macro results. It might take a month, 6 months, could take a year, could take five, could take 10. Who knows how long it's going to take? But would you say that for someone to do that, just to be thankful for the roof over their head every morning, that is, quite honestly, for them, a shift, even though it's so microscopic, that could actually turn their lives around, rather than saying that this book or this person or what have you, they did it.
Yeah, I think yes, because especially with gratitude, essentially gratitude is training yourself to look for the good, no matter what, Right. And I'm not saying that you have to just like put a happy face on something. You know, when you're feeling gloomy or something went wrong, I'm not saying, okay, well, then we all have to pretend to be happy. It's not that at all. In fact, it's very much acknowledging, you know, your feelings for what they are in a situation. But there is always something to be grateful for. And if you do train yourself to do this, and something, I mean, a lot of people talk about this. I talk about this too. Look for 3 to 5 things every day that you are grateful for. And they have to be different every day. And anytime I mention this to someone as a first-time idea, they're like, 3 to 5 things every day that are different? What? Like, they actually think it's going to be difficult. I said, really? Is it going to be that difficult? Let's just think of some of the things right now, because some of them are so basic that we just take them for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, if you train your brain to look for the good, to look for the positive, and to stay focused on that, like, find the good in the situation, find the positive, you are making a colossal shift, because you're shifting your energy, you're shifting your vibration, and when that happens, essentially, you're changing everything about, like, where you're vibrating, what your energy is. I mean, you mentioned The Secret. That's all about the law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
that wherever we're vibrating with our energy, whatever we put out there, it's like a boomerang, it comes back. So if we want to focus on the negative all the time and complain that, like, you know, ugh, well, you know, this house isn't good enough, it's not as big as the Joneses down the street, and my car sucks and all the rest of it. Yeah, well, you guess what? You're vibrating in a really low-level vibration, and you're going to attract more of that just crappiness that you're already complaining about. If you're looking for the good and saying, you know, this house has served us so well, we've been in it for years, and the car is, it may not be new, but it gets me to work every day. It's been my trusty companion. That's a whole different ballgame. When you start looking for that good, then that's the stuff that you start to attract. Those great things start to happen for you. And in terms of, you know, a book changing your life, a book can change your life, but not because it's just a book that you read.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you implemented whatever was in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you actually took on board and thought about it. And as we were talking about earlier, you know, you have to commit to doing some work yourself.
Yeah.
You can't just read the book and then you're done. I would never say that to anyone about my book. Like, oh, yeah, read my book. It'll change your life. The only way my book is going to change your life is if you read it and you actually contemplate, do the little exercises I have in there, you know, do your own work with the steps that I've laid out. I'm basically giving you a roadmap on how to get unstuck and create that life you love. So if you follow that and you take all that on board and you implement it over time, then it's, yes, my book could change your life, but that's more than just reading it, right? So it is about what you choose to do. Again, choice. This has been our theme
yes.
throughout the whole show, right? It's your choice of where you put your thoughts, and it's your choice on how much you take on board from a book like mine. Are you just going to read it as, you know, okay, I read it, I'm done. Okay, the change should happen. No! You got to read it, you got to think about it, you got to do some of these exercises, you got to start doing your, you know, connecting with yourself, all these things I lay out in there. And yeah, you will see change. You will see the benefit of that and feel the empowerment and the freedom from that.
I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We're not quite done yet. I have 3 more questions to ask you, but I really appreciate what you've shared with us today. Alex Bratty, she is the author of Chaos to Clarity. This is all about getting unstuck and creating the life, a life that you love. And it's just been extraordinary, and I look forward to talking with you again in the future. If you ever find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
It would be my pleasure, Richard, and it's been so fun being on the show. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Before I let you go, question 1, who is Alex Bratty?
Who is Alex Bratty? That's a great question. I'm a life coach, I'm a motivational speaker, and as you have said, I'm the author of From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love. And I truly live by that belief that you can have the life that you want, that you can, no matter how tough things seem right now, no matter how difficult, you do have the power, and you already have the answers to how to get there. You do have the power to turn it around and create the life you want, and I am a true believer in that.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Thank you. I love that question. I want to help other people get unstuck. There are so many people out there that are, you know, they just feel their life is going in a direction they don't want it to, they don't know how to change it, or they feel like they're on the hamster wheel and they can't get off, or they're burned out, they're stressed, they're exhausted. There are so many people out there that were in my shoes just a few years ago, and I essentially want to help them navigate their journey so that they can get themselves unstuck. And as you said, create that life that they truly can have and that they want. And my hope is that the book helps reach more people than I can manage to coach, right? There's only so many people I can reach through my coaching. And so I've put the book out there with the intention that it can serve and help more people.
Hmm. And this third question has changed now for the third time, and you are the first person to answer it. What is Alex Bratty's life's purpose?
Oh, I love that. My life's purpose is truly to serve. It is to serve other people and to really help them, like I said, navigate the journey that they're on, create that awareness of why is this happening? And if I don't like where it's going, how do I change that? And essentially bringing a greater conscious awareness to them so that they become empowered. You know, I can give them tools and techniques and resources, but ultimately they become empowered because they are using those and they are able to ultimately navigate their own life. So that is my life's purpose now, is to serve, and I'm doing that through my writing and my coaching and my speaking, is to bring to people that sort of bring to life that idea that you can truly create what you want, that it isn't just some pipe dream. It's actually a reality, and it can be your reality if you follow, you know, these 7-8 steps and really implement them.
And those 7 or 8 steps are contained in From Chaos to Clarity. My guest has been Alex Bratty. Alex, once again, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Thanks again, Richard. It's been my pleasure to be here.
And I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.